Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave with the Seed Christian Fellowship, and I would love to have you come and join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We meet at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Many of you may not be able to travel. You could join us online with a live stream at 9 a.m. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the link for the live stream and join us. If you're not able to join us at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings, you can always go to our YouTube channel at the Seed Christian Fellowship. You could like and subscribe and get connections when we post our YouTubes of our children's messages, our worship services, and our Sunday messages. If you've been a Christian for a while, or you've attended church for a while, you've heard the Christmas story over and over and over again through your lifetime. You probably have read the different accounts of the birth of Christ from the Bible. Last week, I encourage you to go read those. Dr. Luke tells us of the birth of John the Baptist before he tells us the birth of the Messiah. Matthew, the tax collector, tells us of the genealogy of Christ before we're told of the virgin birth. If you've been listening the past 3 weeks, we've been on an Advent journey. We've been looking at the Christmas story through the eyes of those who were there. What did they see? What did they experience? How did they feel about the news? What did they do with the news of the Christ child? Did the shepherds really find the Christ child, Emmanuel? And were they changed? Or did they find Emmanuel, God with us in the manger bed, and stay the same old, same old, same old? Well, that's a great question for us today. During the first stop of our Advent journey, we looked at the story of the old priest Zechariah, who encountered the angel Gabriel and was told that his incredibly old wife would bear a child, a son. Zechariah was speechless, literally for many, many months until John was born, and even then some. It was not until Zechariah wrote down the name of his newborn son, John, that Zechariah's mouth was open. Zechariah found Advent hope through his long journey of silence. From Malachi to Matthew, there were 400 years of silence between the Old and New Testament. And yet, as we've studied this, we've learned how God was at work all the time. Silence, friends, does not mean absence. Silence means keep hoping and hope some more. No matter how long it takes, keep hoping. We learn that God is still at work, speaking into our silent times. Remember Gabriel's words? Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. If you've been living in silence, God is at work. Keep praying. Be faithful. This is Advent hope. The second week of our Advent journey, we moved from preaching to meddling and had a personal encounter with Joseph. We heard his heart and passion. We wrestled with Joseph's fear and doubt and anger. We came to understand the Advent love of Emmanuel, God with us. When things do not go as we have planned, are we able to say, God, not my plan, but yours? This is the Advent love that we learn about, that our hearts will need as we accept the plan God has for us, plans for good and plans for hope and love. During the third week of our Advent journey, we look through the eyes of a teenage girl. The angel Gabriel shows up and delivers awesome news. Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will become pregnant and bear a son. Your son will be like the very Son of God, the Messiah. Mary did not ask who, what, when, where, why. Mary simply asked how. The angel told her, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. For nothing is impossible with God. As soon as Mary heard this news, and she went to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant, Mary went to visit her with haste, and Mary was eager to listen. Mary followed the angel's announcement with great joy. Upon Mary and Elizabeth's meeting, their unborn babies leapt for joy. Joy. Jesus, others, and you. Sometimes a good acrostic for that. We are filled with joy as we celebrate this final week of Advent. Can we allow the joy of the Lord to be our strength, like both Mary and Elizabeth did? Hope, love, joy. These are the gifts that adorn the altar of our hearts. In just a few days, Christmas will have come and gone. Are you ready to celebrate the greatest news of all? Is your heart prepared for Emmanuel, God with us, God with you? By the way, when you see Emmanuel with the I, it is a Hebrew writing of Emmanuel. And when you see it with an E, Emmanuel, it's a Jewish writing. So it's the same name, just a different dialect. And it's the Greek form or the Jewish form. But Emmanuel means the same thing, God with us. Whether it's Hebrew or Greek, what matters is the meaning. In the manger bed of our hearts, the Christ child is born. Let us turn to our passages today as we study this passage. The Old Testament is from the prophecy Isaiah, the Prince of Peace. The New Testament comes from Dr. Luke as he retells the story that was told to him. Listen for God's word, and may God's word be a living light that shines into the dark places of our hearts and our lives. Today, right now, may we be filled with the hope, love, joy, and peace of Christmas. Let us pray. Lord, we give you our lives. We pray that the living word would fill us to overflowing with your hope, with your love, with your joy, and with your peace. May the Prince of Peace rule and reign in our hearts, our homes, and our lives today and forever. Amen. Grab a Bible, Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. Boy, is that a great word for us. Just pause and ponder that. No more gloom for those that are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he'll honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The prophet Isaiah wrote this prophecy around 700 BC. Isaiah's job from God was to call the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, back to God. His prophecies were to announce that God's Prince of Peace was coming. This Prince of Peace would be a Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, and a Mighty God. Have you been looking for a counselor? How about a Wonderful Counselor? The Hebrew word for wonderful means of extraordinary nature, making it mysterious or difficult to comprehend. Have you been looking for a good, good father? There's a wonderful Christian song out there called Good, Good Father. How about an everlasting father? The Hebrew word Isaiah uses for everlasting can be translated in English perpetuity of time, always, eternity, continuing in the future. This kind of everlasting father isn't going anywhere, ever. This kind of everlasting father will stand the test of time. Are you looking for God to rule and reign in this world? How about a mighty God? The Hebrew word for mighty means strong, vigorous, or with great power. We all need a mighty God, a God who is strong and vigorous and with great power. What a powerful, what a wonderful, what a glorious prophecy that Isaiah gives us. The Prince of Peace is coming. The people were supposed to get ready. The government was going to be on this Prince of Peace's shoulders, and the peace that he brings will have no end. What a wonderful promise. Why would the peace that the Prince of Peace bring have no end? Why? Because the zeal, the fire, the passion, the ardent love of the Lord God would accomplish it. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this by bringing a little baby into the world. It's called a big theological word, incarnation. We're not going to deal with that, but he's bringing the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace was coming. It was being born to the common, ordinary people like Mary and Joseph and shepherds. Well, and even you and me. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know your fears. I don't know your doubts. I don't know your pain or shame or guilt. But I can tell you the Prince of Peace has come for you. He wants to be your Prince of Peace. He wants to be your wonderful Counselor. He wants to be your mighty God. He's come for you and me. Stop. Ponder that. Well, if you're driving, don't stop. If you're working, don't stop. But just slow down in your mind and ponder the joy that comes with that. Our New Testament passage comes from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. What a wonderful Christmas story. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about him. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Have you ever read this story in Luke over and over again? Well, as a pastor, and I preach every year, and I've been preaching for 25 years, you read this Christmas story over and over again. And every year, something new, well, for me, something new is discovered. This year, I was working on this passage when the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart the thought about God's glory being revealed. In this story, we have common, ordinary shepherds going about their business, watching over their sheep. I really think that the shepherds represent you and me. Luke tells us that when the first angel showed up, he announced good news of great joy for all people. The angel first told the shepherds, "Do not be afraid." That alone would be good news, especially in this worldwide pandemic and this political culture and whatever's going on in your lives. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for you, all people. But the angel then went on to tell them even more. Today a Savior has been born to you. The angels gave them a few more instructions and explained to the shepherds that they'll find the baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Next, we are told that a great heavenly host. Now, host is a big word. We don't use that very often, but it means a great army. Thousands upon thousands of angels are going to come and announce this peace. Think about that. An army of angels who come to announce peace. And as they announce this peace, they sing, and I won't sing it to you, but they sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all whom his favor rests." Here's what struck me and stopped me in my tracks this week as I was working on this passage. When the glory of heaven or the glory of God is revealed in the birth of Jesus, the result is peace on earth. Let me say that again. When the glory of heaven or the glory of God is revealed in the birth of Jesus, the result is peace on earth. Are you looking for peace? I think we all are. Peace during this pandemic, peace during the season, peace at our job, peace in our family, peace at work. Last week, I asked you what your favorite Christmas movie is. I mentioned A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And old Ebenezer Scrooge's life is transformed in that movie, and he learns the true meaning of Christmas. My favorite, of course, of all the Christmas movies is It's a Wonderful Life. It's starring Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. And just, I've watched that movie over and over again, and every Christmas I ask my wife, can we watch It's a Wonderful Life? We watch it, and we grab up some popcorn, and we cuddle up, and we watch the movie. And to be honest with you, tears always, I've seen the movie hundreds of times, but tears always well up in my eyes when the story turns and Jimmy Stewart finally gets it. Did you know that Jimmy Stewart was a pilot during World War II? Jimmy Stewart was a commander of a B-52 bomber squadron, and at one time he got the nickname Flak Happy because of his daredevil missions of flying his B-52 bomber. Stewart flew 20 bombing missions over Germany and France. In one of those missions, he lost 13 of his planes under his command. That meant 130 men. Jimmy Stewart never talked about the horrors of war, but he did struggle with PTSD. After the war, director Frank Capra took a chance on him and put him in the lead role as George Bailey. Some people have said that Jimmy Stewart lived out the part of George Bailey in a personal way when he really wished that he had never been born. Maybe you're there. Maybe you're struggling with continuing with life. Stop. Look up. Clarence is coming. Really, Jesus is coming. Every time I watch the ending part, all the people of the town come in and start sharing their coins, dollars, and treasures. It brings tears to my eyes. Yes, I am sentimental. It's an emotional part for me to see how George's one life touched so many. It made me hope and pray that I'm more like George Bailey than I could guess. Just this past month in October, or a couple months ago in October, we had Pastor Appreciation Month at our church, and we have a wonderful church seed family. But I had COVID during the month of October. I was in bed for 10 days. I don't think I got out of bed. And finally, when I got back to the church to preach, they wanted to have a celebration, and one of the members of the church sang Ray Bolts' song, "Thank You, Lord, for giving to the Lord." It's a wonderful song. I'd recommend it. And people in the church came up and gave my wife and I flowers. To be honest with you, I cried. I thought like I was George Bailey, and people were blessing me. Today, we're celebrating our final week of Advent. And next week, it's going to be Christmas. And today, we're taking a look at what happens when Christ really does invade our hearts and our homes. This past week, as I was studying, the Holy Spirit gave me an acrostic. I love acrostics if you've listened to me long enough. So here's your acrostic for peace, P-E-A-C. Peace exists as Christ enters. Peace exists as Christ enters. Don't you see it? The prophecy of Isaiah, some 2,700 years before Christ was born, for us to a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. When I see this movie of George Bailey, I imagine that the Prince of Peace has come to reign in George Bailey's life. George Bailey was given his life back. Clarence reminds George of his amazing miracle by signing his book, "No Man is a Failure Who Has True Friends." when Christ enters our hearts and homes, we have been given a peace that reigns that no man or woman or political situation or pandemic can take away from us. George found this out as he ran home over the bridge yelling Merry Christmas to everyone, and even to the storefronts, and even to Mr. Potter. Can you imagine that the Prince of Peace coming to reign in Jimmy Stewart's life? Someone gave Jimmy a chance to star in a movie. Jimmy had survived 20 bombing raids filled with failures, faults, guilt, grief, and grudges. Could the Prince of Peace actually reign in Jimmy Stewart's life and turn it around? Can you imagine the Prince of Peace coming into your life right now to reign in your heart and your home today? Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he comes into our lives in a million different ways. Yet every time Jesus promises, the promise is the gift of peace, the incredible gift of peace that enters our hearts and never leaves. The promise of Jesus' peace is revealed to us in the midst of our common, ordinary lives. The Prince of Peace comes to dwell with us in the middle of our stressful situations, our worldwide pandemic, in the heart of our difficult conditions, or in the heat of a battle, in the shadow of death, or in all the unexpected things that the world has to offer. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he came to bring you and me peace. In the midst of every situation, in the middle of anything we face, failures, faults, guilt, grief, grudges, unforgiveness, bitterness, brokenness are just a few of the things that can steal away our peace. So can our health and our finances steal away our peace. But Isaiah is writing to us to tell us that this child is going to be a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This promise was written 2,700 years ago, and it's good for us today. I surely need a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, and an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. The word for peace that is used in Isaiah 9:6 to describe the Prince of Peace is shalom. Shalom means so much more than the absence of war. Shalom means completeness, soundness, wholeness, prosperity, ease, safeness, and satisfaction. Real peace is knowing that no matter what I do, God will never stop loving me. Real peace is knowing that no matter what happens, God will never leave me alone. Real peace is knowing that no matter what will happen in the new year or in the years to come, the Prince of Peace will be with me. Real peace is knowing that the guilt of past failures, mistakes, and sins are forgiven forever, and that's a long time. Real peace is knowing that the grief of the losses we've experienced will be overcome by the Prince of Peace. Real peace is knowing that we can give up our grudges to the Prince of Peace. Friends, real peace is knowing God's word. Psalm 119 says, "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." Well, peace. Peace exists as Christ enters. Remember, real peace is knowing that no matter what I do, where I've been, God will never stop loving me. Real peace exists as Christ enters. Let us pray. Lord God, we just come to you today. Help us to stand in your peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding. Help us to remember that no person is a failure who has true friends. And Lord, I pray for friends, the best friend of all, the Prince of Peace, to come and rule and reign in our hearts. We can find him lying in a manger in swaddling clothes. And we say, come, Prince of Peace, wonderful counselor, mighty God, and everlasting Father, into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week before Christmas, and know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.